beginning in verse 18, beginning and ending in verse 18. One verse, and let's stand together, if you would, for the respect of the Word of God. We'll pray and we'll jump right into this simple lesson tonight. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Simple verse, simple truth. I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of faithfulness. Lord, we sure love you and we thank you for the inerrant, inspired, infallible, and preserved Word of God. We're so glad that you cared enough to lay it out for us. And Lord, it may not be all of the mind of God, but it is all of your mind that you wish to reveal to us, and that is enough. God, that means that we trust you for what we do not know, for what we do not understand. We trust you with all of our heart tonight. And Lord, that may only last for some of us while we're in this room. But while it lasts, I pray we would act upon it. I pray that as we leave here tonight, we will be burdened to live by faith and to take responsibility to live faithfully. And I pray that you'd be honored in our life. I yield myself to you tonight, God, again, and I ask you to please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could have the privilege of being filled with your Spirit. I pray that you'd make me a vessel so that you could preach through me your message to us, your people, that you would be glorified and honored. And I pray that you bless again these that are here. I again lift up to you, Leilani. I ask that you'd please touch her eye, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll strengthen it. And I pray that you'd heal it. This window of opportunity that they have, I pray that they would do all that they can and trust you with all that they can't. And I pray that you'll heal that baby. I pray, God, for Randy, that you'd strengthen him for his CT scan on Friday and that the test would come back wonderfully. I pray, Father, that you would be with Franny in her situation at work and that you'll give her wisdom. I pray for this lady that Jenny mentioned, Lord, who is going to be a single mom of three here shortly, and she's going to go through an awful lot of transition. God, that she's your daughter, I pray that you'd bring her back. I pray that as you've been waiting for her, she would sense your leading and that she would come home. Pray that you bless our time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When I consider all the things that the people can do with all of the talents that they may have, I firmly believe that the most rewarded, the most honored, the most important attribute of any Christian is still faithfulness. I believe that with all of my heart. All it takes is one look through Scripture and you'll find God's blessings and God's power and God's presence on those whom he found faithful. When you consider a man by the name of Enoch that walked faithfully with God for 300 years and his reward was that he didn't have to die. He was translated during a time where every thought, every imagination of man was continually evil, only evil, the Bible says. And yet there was a man that walked with God. In fact, Noah walked with God, the Bible says, faithfully, and his reward was grace. And for that, he was given the opportunity to be really, again, the start over button for all of mankind. And he and his three sons and three daughters-in-law and his wife got into the ark with all of the creatures that God brought in there. And that was for being faithful. You look at a man by the name of Daniel who faithfully prayed to God, and his gift and his blessing, if you will, was his deliverance at the hands of a lion's den. You continue to go through Scripture, and certainly time does not permit me, but I think of Joseph, who faithfully waited on God for 13 years and was set free, and David, who faithfully kept the sheep for God, and he became a king. Over and over again, you find out that these people in Scripture were not people who were necessarily over-talented. They were just faithful. They were people that did what they needed to do by God's grace, and God rewarded them for that. There is no shortage of examples of faithfulness in the big biblical account of the past, and may there not ever be any shortage of examples in the present. May we be found faithful so that all that come behind us would find us faithful. In true fashion, the Holy Spirit of God moved Solomon to write about this matter of faithfulness, and he does it in such a way not only that he can relate, but to also for those who will set out to discover its true meaning. Now, if you look in the book of Ecclesiastes, there was a time in Solomon's life when he gave himself in wisdom and in knowledge to do really everything he possibly could to figure out more about this life. And part of what he did was he gave himself over to horticulture. And I had myself vineyards and olive yards, and he did a whole lot of planning, and he had gardens and all kind of things. So when he's talking about this matter of attending to a tree, the Bible says in verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree, there's no doubt in my mind that Solomon went right back to a fig tree that he had planted himself, that he had people plant, that he had watched grow, and all that goes into that. And by way of this matter in trying to understand it, the Bible tells us that when we come to verses like this, that there's something that we have to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And I think that's our shortfall. In other words, we're not faithful to stop when we get to verses like this, pull over like we will tonight. And by the way, I'm for Bible study, but this should not be the only time we study the Bible. So when we pull over, the Bible says that I have a desire to know this. Well, let me separate myself from everything else that I'm doing for the next two or three minutes, or maybe 5 minutes, or 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, and let me, God, just ask you to give me wisdom. Why would you say this, and what does it pertain to? And I want to learn what you have for me in this verse. So let's take a few minutes tonight and separate from our own thoughts and our thoughts about the world and from the world that we live in, and think about what the Bible is saying to us in our text. Now think about this. Why would God use a fig tree and its keeper to serve as the backdrop for this matter of faithfulness and reward? It's just a simple verse. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Did you know that typically a fig tree will not produce fruit until its fifth or sixth year? Could I just say this? That's a lot of keeping. That's a day in, day out keeping of a tree that you know the day that you plant it, that you're not going to get anything out of it for 5 to 6 years, on an average 5 years. Now that's an awful lot to be given to that. And the same is saying here of the servant that waits on his master is going to be honored. Not knowing if you're ever going to be honored or not, giving yourself to what God has given you to do, doing it faithfully until it comes. It doesn't matter how long. That's the principle of faithfulness. So he writes of this fig tree and the servant that keeps it and watches over it and does it. Now, it makes sense then for fidelity or faithfulness in whatever service one may be entrusted with assures its reward in due time, even as the caretaker of the fig tree would be duly entitled to partake of its fruit once it comes on. H.A. Ironside said that. It makes sense that the one that would care for it the very first time that the fruit is finally ready, it makes sense that because he has been so faithful, that part of his reward is to be able to partake of the fruit that he's been watching and caring over for so long. So is the servant that waits upon his master, that he's going to humble himself long enough so that in due time, when he's exalted, it would make sense that the fidelity and such faithfulness would be rewarded. Matthew Henry said of this verse, though the calling be laborious and despicable at times, yet those who will keep to it will find there is something to be got by it. Let not, he said, a poor gardener who keeps the fig tree be discouraged, though it require constant care and attendance to nurse up fig trees, and when they have grown to maturity, to keep them in good order and gather their figs in their season, yet he shall be paid for his pains, he shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, that's basically the verse, but now we would do well to apply it. Let me ask you a question. How many fig trees have you planted lately? How many fig trees have you planted? I don't mean literal fig trees. I mean the responsibilities that you have as a Christian. Are you tending to them? For a few minutes tonight, I want us to explore this matter of faithfulness as it pertains to our redemption, to our possession of the gospel of Jesus Christ in relation to the upcoming Friend Day. As it stands, the Bible tells us we have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you think for 1 minute that you have been put on this earth to make money, to have possessions, to get married, to have kids, to plan a retirement and do all that, you're sadly mistaken, friend, because the one reason that you're alive is first and foremost to give glory and honor to God Almighty who created you. Secondly, the Bible says the way I give honor to God is by bearing much fruit. Now, isn't it interesting that God uses the analogy that, man, if you're going to attend to something that bears fruit, that you're going to get to partake of it. There's going to be something that I'm going to reward you with for your faithfulness. Now, think about this just for a minute. When you think about faithfulness, I want to look first of all at the proposed requirements for faithfulness. I'm going to go through these rather quickly, and I want you just to think about this for a minute. Your stewardship of the gospel, you being a partaker of the gospel. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you. Now, what are you doing with him? The fact of the matter is, we are called to be stewards, which means some of the requirements are as follows. First of all, letter A, there has to be acceptance. What is that? There has to be an agreement to terms. Well, what's the terms? The acceptance of who I am in Christ. What is my responsibility? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, isn't it interesting? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Here again, God draws a direct line back to some kind of working with the growth and trying to keep it and make sure that it's going. Well, I've got to accept the fact that I've been saved, and because I have the possession of Jesus Christ and the power of God unto salvation, to anybody that'll believe it in the gospel, that means that I have to accept the fact that I'm supposed to steward that gospel. It's not mine to keep. Acceptance. Letter B, intelligence. Once I accept the fact that God saved me, made me a child of God, and he's made me a laborer, then intelligence is the ability to learn and understand. I then have been given the responsibility and the gift by just the faculty to listen to God, follow the Holy Spirit, read the Word of God, and say, oh, that's what a steward does. That's what a laborer does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, watch this, even so we speak, not as pleasing God, men, but God which trieth our hearts. If you think about Matthew 28, 19 and 20, God's given every one of us intelligence to understand that there is a personal responsibility for every Christian to go and teach all nations. That's what a laborer does. A laborer takes the gospel, he goes out into the harvest fields, he plants it, he waters it, he digs it, he tills it, he waits for it, he's faithful around it, he keeps himself there to it. Why? Because it's going to produce someday. That's the whole point. One of the requirements is acceptance. I have to accept the fact that God's given me the gospel, and he gives me intelligence to understand and learn what I'm supposed to do with it. Number three, then it requires diligence. Once I accept the fact I'm a servant of God, once I take into consideration and understand what he wants me to do, then I have to be steady in the application of that. Now, that may be a little rough for some of us in here, but if you need a Bible illustration, and by the way, we always need a Bible illustration, just look to the book of Acts. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what that means to me? Glory to God. Somebody got so gloriously saved, they can't not speak about it. They've got to say something to somebody, because it just doesn't seem fair that I should go to heaven and everyone else who's walking around me doesn't have the same light. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak. We cannot but speak. The Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know what that word daily means? Diligence. It means there's a steady application. It doesn't mean, well, I'm diligent on Sunday to get some understanding, and I'm diligent on Sunday to try to do my best and witness to the waitress when we go to dinner, or because I go out with other Christians to give a track in the bill or at the person that I'm getting my food from. But on Monday when I'm out, and on Tuesday when I'm at work, and at Wednesday on the way back as I'm getting gas or whatever, all of the day, it's steady in application. You catch my drift? It's not something that a steward or a faithful servant does part-time. They're full-time Christians in Acts chapter 2. They're people who took the gospel everywhere. Now, once I accept the role that God's given me as a steward, and he's given me intelligence to learn and understand what I'm supposed to do, and I start making, I'm starting to steadily apply what he's told me to do, and I'm diligent about that, guess what else it requires? Patience. Because you see, far too many Christians can start out just like gangbusters. And all of a sudden, they're just running at it. They're kind of like Alka-Seltzer when you first plop it in there, right? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. We know that, right? And it's kind of neat when we see the effervescence, it comes up like that. And then guess what else? Guess what happens after a while? It just sits there. It stops. And sometimes, if we're not careful, that's what happens in the Christian life. Sometimes we hear a message like this, or we'll get geared up around Friend Day, and we forget that it's not about Friend Day. It's about the friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's about the gospel of Christ every day of our life. It's about us making steady application with our entrusted gospel. Now, if you add up all of these statements, you know what you get? You know what you get when you add up acceptance, intelligence, diligence, and patience? You get faithfulness. If you and I are going to be faithful, by the way, in any role, but if we're going to just keep it right here with the fig tree and the fruit illustration and the gospel of Christ, because that's the foremost on God's heart, then it equals faithfulness. Now, you look back and say, okay, am I faithful as a Christian in telling someone about Christ? If you're not, it's because one of those four things are missing. I've either not accepted the responsibility, I've not learned all that I should learn about the responsibility, I've not been diligent on the responsibility, or I just got tired of waiting for it to actually pay off. That's faithfulness. In a nutshell, the proposed requirements: every Christian is a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, say it with me, faithful. And every man that hath received this gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I've become a steward of the gospel, but also of the grace that lets me display the gospel. The grace that God gives me, what am I doing with it? Am I faithfully serving it, or am I frustrating it? The proposed requirements. We do not need any more Alka-Seltzer Christians. We need faithful stewards. If God has given us the ability to understand, then we must accept our responsibility and privilege and be steady and patient in our application of the truth. What's required to be a steward? Faithfulness. God says, I've laid it out for you. And he gives us biblical examples of that in the Apostle Paul. We see the proposed requirements. Number two, we see a promised reward. Even in our text, the Bible says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Galatians 6:9 tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, we may not always appreciate, we may not always like the timeline that God is on, but I would tell you, as someone who's not very patient, we would do well to get on God's timetable. To be able to say, God, though we want results now, I want to be faithful to see them whenever you bring them. That's what I mean. We could be faithful from now until the end of the month and say, "Woo! We really prayed diligently three or four times before they came, and well, they didn't come, but I gave it my college try." Did you? Because if you're doing a college try, you probably won't stop trying. We say, when do you stop trying? When they get saved. And then what do? Go get some more. Go get another one. There are plenty of candidates. And they all don't have to be your friends. There are plenty of people that need to be saved. God says, I want you to be faithful. Why? Because if you're going to remain faithful, I'm promising a reward. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Now, what's the principle here of this promised reward? Twofold, even in Proverbs 27, verse 18. Number one is satisfaction. The servant that tills and waters and waits and patiently waits for the fig tree to produce, once it produces, he sees the satisfaction because he gets to eat it. Listen, all of us love a good meal. When it's all said and done, we go, "Woo, that was very satisfying." Some of us get a little too much satisfying out of it. It becomes more than just satisfying. And so the whole point of it is, listen, I want you to be satisfied because I want you to see what you had a hand in. Now, isn't it amazing? As I read that description about the fig tree, isn't it amazing that at the end of it, I think I forgot to read it, you cannot do anything to speed up the growth. You can't do anything in those 5 years or those 6 years to make the fig tree produce any faster. No amount of tilling, no amount of water or fertilizer will make the tree produce any faster. It produces at a rate only known by God. And yet, the person that's going to till it, the person that has to wait for it, the person that has to work around it, has to wait. So much more the satisfaction because he's been faithful. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. That's his reward. 1 Corinthians 9:7, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Listen, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? So the Bible says in Philippians 4:17, not because I desire a gift, Paul said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul didn't always see truly glorious results, but he labored there so that when he was gone, that he could have some fruit that he could come back to, no matter how long it took. The satisfaction of being faithful is the satisfaction of the reward. Secondly, it mentions an honor. The Bible says at this last part of 27:18 of Proverbs, so he that waiteth on his master. The idea is another Hebrew word for keeping and for honoring and for serving. Serving his master shall be honored. Now, for the servant of God who will labor faithfully, there is a verbal reward and a physical reward. But those are verses that we don't normally internalize as Christians, because we deal so much in the present tense and so much in the physical world. And yet Jesus said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Luke 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul said, and every man that striveth for the mastery is intemperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So you see, the verbal and the physical is there. God says, listen, if you're truly serving me, then you'll serve me faithfully because you want me to say, well done. You know, that would be pretty humbling to think that the Lamb of God could look at someone like me and say, good job. You did well. You ran well. More, I think, many of us would be a little more understanding of what Paul said to the church at Galatia. You did run well, but who did hinder you? Well, there's all kinds of reasons why people are not faithful. And I think some of them are because they don't think about what would happen if they stay faithful, if they just stay committed, that God would honor them. Think about that, that the God of heaven, who is holy, would honor you, would look at you in the eye and say, well done, would give you a crown of glory. And that's why the Bible says when we get those crowns, if we stay faithful, that we're not worthy to wear them, we're going to put them right back, and that's where the glory belongs. God, if I've been faithful, it's because of you, not me. I'm going to give it back to you. That crown belongs to you. It has nothing to do with me. You saved me. I should be doing it out of my reasonable service. God says, I want you to see this principle of faithfulness, and it has to do with the requirements. Man, I've got to accept. I've got to learn and understand. I've got to be steadily applying it, and I've got to wait. Oh, waiting is awful, isn't it? I get out of my driveway in the morning and I sit in a line and I wait for this. My commute just grows longer and longer every day. It's so irritating. On a good day, maybe about a minute. On a bad day, that 2.5 minutes is the longest 2.5 minutes of my day. Sometimes I don't understand how it works. The stoplights on a given day cycle through too quickly. I don't know how it gets. I don't know how something mechanical could get out of adjustment. But instead of letting like 7 or 8 cars through, like 2 get through and it turns yellow and I go, ah! And you sit there. And, we want everything so much now, don't we? I said to somebody the other day, I said, isn't it amazing? One of the greatest inventions in the world is the popcorn button on the microwave. Because I don't have to press 3 other buttons. That's a little ridiculous. I've looked at microwaves and I've been like, there's no popcorn button? You mean I have to press 300 and start to get my popcorn? I mean, give me a break. If we're not careful, that's what our soul winning looks like. Just wait a minute. Let me understand this. I saved you for eternity for no other reason but that I'm God and I love you. And this is what I get in return? That's not faithfulness. I shudder to think the times that I've not been faithful to God. Times when I could have, and yet when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will suffer loss. I will not have because I was not faithful. The Bible speaks of the chief shepherd shall appear. He shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'd say that's pretty honoring. Promise or proposed requirements. Acceptance. What's number two? Intelligence. What's the next one? Diligence. What's the next one? Patience. Let's say them again. Number one is? Acceptance. Number two is? Number three is? Number four is? That equals what? Faithfulness. And he says, now you're going to be rewarded. Now let's make a practical rendering and we're done. How do we apply it to our life today? Let me give you four statements. Four statements, okay? What does this mean? Letter A, let us be faithful to sow the seed of the gospel. Be faithful to sow the seed. Matthew 13:3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside. Fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns. But other fell into good ground. You know what that tells me? It doesn't matter where they fell. He still sowed. He was just sowing the seed. Don't miss the faithfulness of the sower there. And if you continue to read and investigate the Gospels, the sower is the Son of Man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he sowed faithfully. And since he sowed faithfully and he calls me to be a faithful steward, I want to be a faithful steward of the gospel, the seed that fell in me and that produced some 30 and 60 and 100 fold. I want to be a faithful sower. I want to be like my master. Do you not want to be? If I'm going to be a Christian, that means that I've first partaken of what he's given me. Not so that I could keep it, so I could give it away. Let us be faithful in sowing the seed of the gospel. Secondly, let us be faithful to water it in prayer. Let's be faithful to water it in prayer. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3. Because I don't think you have that, do you? You don't have that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's be faithful to water it. Now, Pastor, look, I'm all in. I get it. I'm a Christian. You made me feel guilty now because I've not been faithful to the gospel. I'll sow it. I'll get a track and I'll give it to the lady and I'll do that. Good. I'm glad that you're at least to that step, but why not take another step? Since we're into taking steps of faith and we're into doing things by faith and we're into trying to please God and be faithful, why not just take another one since we're already taking one? If we take the second step, then it's more than just sowing the seed. Who then is Paul? Verse 5 in 1 Corinthians 3. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have, what's the next word? Planted. Apollos what? Watered. But who gave the increase? God gave the increase. And then notice what it says. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God is something. Because why? He gives the increase. He's in charge of the seed. He's in charge of the servant. And he's in charge of the reward. As long as we're faithful. God says, while you're at it, why don't you do some watering? Why don't you, when you give these invitations out for Friend Day, why don't you pray for them? Why don't you ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, ask him for wisdom, ask him for specifics in their life, ask him to remove the boundaries that would withhold them from being saved or coming, ask him to intervene in a miraculous way. Listen, he parted the Red Sea for goodness sake. He had Jonah swallowed by a whale. He brought Jericho down just because he can do anything if he can do all those things. God is the God of the impossible. And some of you have friends that seem impossible to save. Good thing God majors in that. He's got his degree in the impossible. And he's faithful at it. Man, why not believe him for that? Why not believe him for the soul that needs to be saved? That you know, plant the seed, but water it. Pray for that soul. Let us be faithful to water in prayer. Thirdly, let's be faithful to till the ground through follow-up. Miss Lehman said something. She invited this man to come. He said he would come. Then she said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to remind him of it. I'm going to go back and remind him of it. What's that? That's digging around the tree. So how many times am I supposed to wait? Well, for the fig tree, it's 5 years. And I can't just water it and not till it. Do you know what happens to the ground when you water it and you don't till it? it gets hard. One of the worst chores I ever had in my life, my dad would say, I want you to go hoe the flower bed. Anybody remember the hula hoe? The hula hoe? The hula hoe is great if the ground is watered. If the ground is not watered, it's like hoeing this carpet. You just... So if he told me, now son, on Saturday after you wash the car, so you had to wash the car and mow the lawn and hoe the flower. Oh yeah, it was a thing, a little four-letter word we were taught when I was young. It's called work. Some kids don't know what that mean word means anymore. That's a mean word. Doesn't know what that word means anymore. But I did, and that didn't mean I liked it, but I sure know what it means to hoe around there, and I know what happens to the ground when you don't water it and till it. It turns like cement. You ever been out to a dry lake bed? And it's just like concrete. The more stuff goes on it, the more it just gets compounded. Why? Because there's no tilling that goes on. When you follow up with someone, you are digging around. I want you in your mind, every person that you give an invitation, every person that you ask if they would come, or you ask them about the gospel and they engage you, I want you to picture a baby tree. I want you to picture a baby tree. I want you to ask yourself, am I willing to do whatever it takes to see this baby tree produce fruit? I want to glorify God and be faithful at watching this tree grow. I want the seed to die, because if it doesn't die, it doesn't produce life according to the Bible. I want to see it die, and I want to see it grow. I want to see this person saved. Oh yeah, I know. It's not about the people that come. It's about obeying Christ, and I believe that. But heaven is not going to be filled by people who don't come. It's going to be filled because of stewards who were faithful. It's going to be filled because people didn't take no for a good answer. They continued to till it and to till it and to till it. When I was in Bible college, the one person I led to Christ was named John. Me and now Dr. Lester were door knocking partners for about a year. And I met John one night. He and his wife were out working. They're retired, working on their sea-doos. They had two big sea-doos. And I looked at this guy, was little. He was like this big. I'm looking at this big, 1,200cc sea-doo or jet ski or whatever. And I was like, yeah, are these your son and grandchildren? Oh, no, they're my wife and I. I said, really? Yeah. And I said, you use them all the time? Oh, man, this is the greatest thing we've ever got for our kids and grandkids. We go out and have it. Oh, wow, that's unbelievable. He engaged me just about the church or whatever. And yeah, my wife's got some church background. I don't really go or whatever. Well, can I talk to you? No, not really. But, I appreciate you asking. I kept going back. Every week for a month, I went back and talked to John. Doesn't matter where my door knocking map was, I'd always go talk to John. Then it became every other week, the second month. Then it was about every 3 weeks, the third month. And then I just, out of the blue, after 6 months, I stopped going. And God said, why are you stopping? So I'd write him a note. I'd go by and see him. I'd go by about once a month. I'd just stop in. One night after a year, the screen door was open. It was a hot Lancaster day. It was in the evening time. I knocked on the door. John said, is that you, Kyle? It is. Come on in. Came in. I said, hey, what's going on? They were sitting like we used to do with the lights off, just kind of chilling out, drinking some iced tea. So what's going on? So my wife and I were sitting here talking about going to church on Sunday. I said, really? Yeah. She was talking to me about what you've been talking to me about. And basically, very long story short, that night I got to lead John to Christ. And that was the only one I ever led to Christ, door knocking. It's the only one I ever led in Bible college, 3.5 years. But it was worth it. You know why? Because I had no idea within 3 months he would be dead. He had cancer and didn't know it. And he died. His wife called the church, not having my number, and they asked me to do the graveside as a junior in Bible college. Now, you may say, I don't have that kind of time and commitment. But John's waiting for me in heaven. And I'm not saying I was that faithful. But I did follow the leading of the Holy Spirit to go back. And I'm thankful that I did. Because he's in heaven tonight. Because he made a willful choice to say yes to Jesus. And if that was the only person I ever led to Christ, then that would be enough. But it wasn't enough. It's a person sitting back in a sound booth that I got to lead to Christ. People that come here on a regular basis in this church, I get to lead to Christ. The privilege to do it. People working in Awana tonight that I had the privilege to show Jesus Christ as their only hope and Savior for forgiveness. That is what it's all about. I want to be faithful to plant. I want to be faithful to water. I want to be faithful to till the ground. And these, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same come out of faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Then letter D, we will have fruit that glorifies God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. If you don't have this verse highlighted in your Bible, I would challenge you tonight to get it out and highlight it and read it before you go to bed. Psalm 126 and verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. According to a 1974 newspaper article, most of us are old enough to remember that year, Leo Fortier had rung the bell of his parish church in Three Rivers, Quebec, every Sunday for 52 years. Every Sunday for 52 years. 52, anybody a mathematician? 52 times 52, that's a lot. That's a lot. Can I challenge you tonight to be faithful to ring the bell? To sound the call? To carry the torch of the gospel of Christ faithfully? Wouldn't it be something to stand before the Lord and there be people in heaven like this? I'll be well behind them who have served the Lord faithfully for 52 years. I'm not talking about did something for 20 years, then took a break, and because of tragedy hasn't done nothing since. I'm talking about people who have served God for 50-some years. Don Siska's like that. Lou Baldwin is like that. 36 years straight. Don Siska, some 50, almost 60 years. All they've done is been faithful. I want to be like that. I want to be faithful because there is a reward. There is an honor for the one that will humble himself. And God said, I'll do it. I'll exalt you in due time. And it may not be until you get to heaven, but it will be worth it because I'm going to be the one to do it. I want us to be faithful. Better, God wants us to be faithful. So let's consider it tonight. What part of faithfulness don't you understand? And then let God use you for his glory. Father, we sure love you and we thank you for good Bible examples of faithfulness. We thank you for present living day examples. God, I think of Adoniram Judson, Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd. Lord, we've been blessed in the 19th, 20th, 21st century, people who have just remained faithful no matter what. And God, it's a challenge, to be honest. Because some Christians, to be faithful Sunday morning night, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's a challenge sometimes just to get them here once a week. And yet, God, you have always been faithful, always been so long-suffering. Lord, I can't help but think of how many more people would be saved if Christians would just see that far more than talent, the greatest attribute of the Christian life is faithfulness. Would you help us tonight? Convict our hearts, oh God, of our need to be faithful. May we be faithful spouses, faithful parents. May we be faithful Christians, children of the King, taking our responsibility and waiting patiently for the opportunity for you to use us. And then, Lord, that day when we get to pick that fruit, when that soul gets saved, oh, it's so sweet. I pray that you'd give us that. Lord, I wonder how many people in here have ever led somebody to Christ and made a disciple out of them, watched them grow after that. Lord, that's what it's all about, because there's more to Christianity than salvation. May we be faithful. God, may this friend day not just yield souls, may it yield disciples, people who need to be taught the Word of God and their need to be in a church body, and their need for a pastor, and their need for a church family to uphold and encourage them. Lord, the next time, perhaps this time next month, when we read Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and it says, let us, therefore, and let us, therefore, may it include them. And I pray, God, that you would be glorified because of that fruit. Help us to be faithful, I pray, in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together tonight just for a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask Ms. Stolnicker to play Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him. And I want you just to pray to the Lord tonight about your faithfulness with the gospel of Christ. Let's not be arrogant with the gospel. Let's be humble with the gospel. Let's take the position that God's been so gracious, loving, and forgiving to us. We could do that to somebody else. Remember how long he waited for you? Remember how he worked to see you get saved? Someone in your family needs to be saved. Someone in your own household. Maybe someone here tonight that needs to be saved. Man, it would make my night to take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You come right up to me after church, say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I'd love to do that. Wherever you are, Christian, pray, God, help me to be faithful with the gospel.